You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And we are so blessed, so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. And the supplication is going to be taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. This is the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're just talking about, you know, grateful to have awakened, of course, and, you know, truly blessed to be alive at the time. And, you know, what we talk about awaken, you know, the divine will awakens us. I mean, we sleep. We go into a somewhat of a coma, and then we are awakened. Well, let's see, it may be the alarm clock enabling us or helping us, but it's God's divine will who beats our heart, breathes our lungs, and flows our blood. Everything which God remained with Adam and Eve, otherwise they would have ceased to exist. And if they had ceased to exist, we wouldn't be here. There would be no Radio Maria. We would have no opportunity for redemption like we did, and no opportunity now for sanctification like we do. So we're going to be talking about Radio Maria in a bit, because this is a really important time for Radio Maria. And but I want to bring in Mother and the sisters. Hello, Mother, sisters. Great to be alive.
Hello, Peter, and everyone out there. Hello. Sorry, well, we had it all.
It helps to turn the microphone.
You know, Mother, but it's a great, you know, we didn't plan this, but when, just for the audience so they know, we went live and Mother's equipment wasn't working up to par, so they had to sort of swap out equipment. Well, it's sort of the same thing Radio Maria is doing on a much larger scale, and that's why we're going to go into that later, and hence the reason for this Lent-a-thon, this opportunity to refresh equipment. And then I'm also going to ask you, Mother, later to remind us of that story with Mother Angelica and how graciously she was able to procure that equipment. But Mother, the divine will of the end of all ends, the beginning of all beginnings. We're just so blessed to have been introduced to it. Mother?
Yeah, I was just reading in volume 27 here. This was February the 10th, 1929. October 2nd. It says, "My daughter, only my divine will can render the creature happy. With its light, it either eclipses or puts to flight all evils and says with its divine power, 'I am perennial happiness. Flee you all evils. I want to be free. Because before my happiness, all evils lose life.'" We were just talking to some friends who came to visit us, you know, and they were talking about how can we become warriors for Christ. You know, we're getting ready for a tremendous battle. We know that there's darkness coming, tremendous darkness coming, and we have many mystics telling us that. And we don't even need mystics to tell us that. We just have to look at the world and know that God's going to have to clean house in order for us to have a better world. So, you know, how do we become warriors? How do we fight the battle? We don't fight it with guns. We don't. It's a spiritual battle. We fight it by growing in humility, by growing in littleness. If you're very humble and little, the devil flees. Saint Joseph is the terror of demons because of his great humility. Our Lady crushes the head of Satan just with her little foot because she's so humble and little. And so we have to grow in our littleness and grow in our humility in order to be great warriors for God, so the demons will flee. It goes on to say, with one who lives completely in my divine volition, its love is so great as to transform the actions of the creature. And an exchange of life takes place between God and her, an exchange of actions, of steps, of heartbeats. God remains clasped to the creature and the creature to God. They become inseparable beings. And in this exchange of action and of life, the game is formed between creator and creature. One makes oneself prey to the other. And in this becoming prey to each other, they play in a divine manner. They make each other happy. They make feasts. And God and the creature sing glory. They feel victorious because no one has lost, but one has conquered the other. In fact, in my divine will, no one loses. Losses do not exist in it. Only of one who lives in my will can I say that she is my amusement in creation, and I feel victorious in lowering myself to let myself be conquered by the creature, because I know for sure that she will not be opposed to letting herself be conquered by me. Therefore, let the flight in my will be always continuous. You know, we hear the story about Lucifer not wanting to serve when he realized that our Lord would become man, and he would become man through a woman like Our Lady. But Our Lady was so humble and so little, conceived without original sin. Here we conceive with original sin, and yet God wants to redo our lives in us. He wants to relive his life within us in all of our actions. How much that must really anger Lucifer, because we were conceived with sin, and yet God comes to make us little gods, you know, that we become little gods, and that God lives his life in us again. So, you know, how generous God is, how humble God is to lower himself to such an extent, you know, to become one with us, to want us to become one with him, you know. And so the divine will is the greatest gift, and we just have to really be grateful to God for this tremendous gift and embrace it and make the most of it. Read it. He says you can't live in the divine will unless you have the knowledge of it, but to read it, to ponder it, not only to read it, but to pray it, to let it soak into your heart and soul so that it becomes part of your life, and to realize his presence within and focus on him there within yourself. He's the one who makes us humble. He's the one who makes us charitable and kind and loving to others. If we just focus on his presence within, he does the work. All we have to do is focus on him, and he does all the practicing of the virtue in us and everything, because, you know, when we're looking at him and not looking at ourselves, we do find it easy to practice virtue. We do find it easy to be charitable and kind to others and to see them through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's come to help us shed this facade, these costumes that we wear constantly throughout the day, Mother. You know, because if you wear the costume long enough, you sort of begin to believe that whatever role or part you're playing is really you. And it reminds me again, I know I've said this to nauseam, but it reminds me of when Father John Olin Brown was here and he shared that quote with us. He said, quote, unless we understand the insidious nature of the opponent, the human will, there is no hope of escape. The opponent comes dressed in the clothes of a friend rather than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the human will convinces us that he is us. What we call life is a vast case of mistaken identity. And until we distinguish our identity from the opponent, we will remain imprisoned, end quote. We're shedding that facade, just like you said, Mother, and the divine will. It's teaching us that it's okay. It's okay. Be naked like Adam and Eve were naked. They didn't have anything pretentious about them until, of course, the disobedience. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hi, Peter. Hello, everyone. I want to add something about littleness. Mother was talking about the beginning, growing in our littleness. And actually today I just read something about littleness, and it's from volume 30, February 6, 1932. And it say, the little ones can be raised with our features that resemble us. We teach our divine manners, our celestial science in such a way that that she forgets the rough manners and the ignorance of the human will. Those who are grown-ups are already formed, and we can redo little or nothing, and then they are used to living like grown-ups according to the human will, and it takes miracles to destroy habits if one manages at all. On the other hand, with the little ones, it is easy for us. Not does it cost us much, because they have no radical habit, at most a few fleeting motion, such that one little word of ours, one breath of our light in is enough for her to remember it no more. Therefore, be always little if you want my divine will, acting as your true mother to raise you, so that it may be all our glory and also yours. And when I was reading this passage this morning, I was thinking, how can we become little? And then I thought of a little child, or even when we were little, what do we do when we cannot do something? We go to our parents and we ask them for help. So the same thing, when we don't know how to do something, like if we want to learn something, we just go to Jesus and the Virgin Mary and we ask for help, and they will do it. In this, as Mother was saying, this time of battling, we cannot battle. We are so weak. So the Virgin Mary and Jesus and the saints, all the angels, we fight for us, but we need to ask. We need to be like little children and go to there and beg them to do this. And also when we want something, if we really want the gift of the divine will, we have to ask for it. When a child want a cookie, what does he do? He keep asking until he gets it. And so we have to do the same thing. We need to ask for the gift of living, of understanding, of sharing the divine will, and we will get it, because parents can never say no to their children, and I'm sure Jesus, the Virgin Mary, they cannot say no to us when we ask something that holy, that it's living in a divine will. We need to become little children and to be humble, because children are humble, and also when they're little, they fight with their other children, and then after 2 seconds they forget everything. So we have to become like them, to be very humble and little.
Yeah, you know, I know Sister Gemma in the Book of Heaven that there were actually in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Jesus explains that he cannot deny his mother. Whatever she asks will be granted. In fact, it even goes a step further. It even explicates that further. Jesus says that the Holy Trinity cannot say no to our Blessed Mother. So what a firm advocate we have. What a gracious mother, the mother of all mothers. And again, Radio Maria, founded under the patronage of our Blessed Mother, the School of Mary, the same, under the guidance of Our Lady, who's the teacher. Again, it's just so incredible that God gives us one grace after another grace, one opportunity after another opportunity. He never exhausts himself, because he loves us so much. He wants his paternity back. Just what you said, Sister Gemma, he wants to be the father of all children once again. He's not going to force us, though, but he's pleading with us. Please let me help you. And what do we need help? Mothers, sisters?
Yeah. And the reason why he can't say no to Our Lady is because she lived totally in divine will. And if we live totally in divine will, he won't be able to say no to us either.
True. Perfect compliment. Hello, sister.
Hello, everybody. I was listening to what we shared so far. What reminded me about is the paradox. The child, the little child, the baby, its greatest strength is its weakness, its helplessness. That's why they are so powerful, because they cannot help themselves. If an adult comes to someone and say, I need help, and then there's a baby cry, you run first to the child that is helpless, and then because the adult can help himself. So that's just what I thought about. And Mother mentioned about spiritual warfare, you know, how, you know, one thing that Satan, this is the greatest secret that we keep, that Satan could not understand, that is nothingness, it's littleness, because Satan wants to think of him being big, being equal to God. And that also we talk about, Mother mentioned about the spiritual warfare. It's really love conquers all. So divine will is all about charity. It's about love. If we talk about virtues, the virtues of God, even the Ten Commandments, everything that we read about the divine will, it all centers to love, and that is the love of God. And so I would like to share with you briefly today, and my meditation is about charity. Jesus talks about how charity is very simple. And he says, charity is so dear to me and that you cannot comprehend it. Charity is simple, just like my being, which though immense, is yet most simple, so much so that there is no place which is that it does not penetrate. So charity is, being simple, it diffuses everywhere. It has regard for no one, whether a friend or an enemy, whether a citizen or a stranger. It loves all. So charity is very simple, but we make it so complicated. And one reading somewhere in here also, it describes charity just like the sun. You know, those everybody is affected by love, or everybody should be affected by the sun. The sun doesn't discriminate, but some of us who hides from the sun will not be able to benefit from the warmth, from its benefits. So it's just like that. And then it goes on also, Jesus also spoke about what is true charity. It's very simple, right? But what is it? He said in July 23rd, 1901, he said, this is true charity, to destroy oneself in order to give life to others, to take upon oneself the evils of others, and to give me one's own good. So this is, again, a paradox. It reminds me of a verse in the scripture, I think it's Matthew, and we read this not long ago at Mass, I think, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Again, living in the divine will, we lose our human will, not in a way that we lost it. We don't have it anymore. We still have it because it's a gift from God, but we surrender it to the Lord to give it to him as our ultimate gift in exchange of his divine will. So by losing our life, we gained life, which is the true life. And the same thing with what we do when we practice true charity, we forget about ourselves for others, you know, because others is for us is God, represents God. And so when we give our lives for others, sacrifice for others, and even taking their evils upon ourselves, just like Jesus took our evils on the cross. So we are called to do the same. Their suffering, we take it upon ourselves, make it as if it's Jesus. And then we sanctify it by returning it to the Lord in divine will, and to give the Lord the good fruits of it, just like he did for us to the eternal Father.
And everyone is capable of charity in one way or another, because there's much more, you know, charity sometimes when we think about it is it's automatically financial. And yes, most times it is. But there's spiritual charity, there's patience in the form of charity. I mean, everyone can be charitable in their own way, in their own means, whatever surroundings they're in. That's what's so beautiful. And I think the divine will helps us focus on that, because to be charitable is to be loving, and to be loving is to be charitable. And again, that paradox can get twisted to the opposite of the paradox. If it's an opposite of the opposite, right, Mother? Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to kind of jump off of what Sister Gemma was saying before about, you know, whatever we ask for, you know, God can't resist us. You know, they're going to answer our prayers. And as she said that, I thought it's absolutely true. We have to pay attention to how they answer those prayers. Because a lot of times, at least I could speak for myself, you know, we pray for things, or especially spiritual things, and we expect it to kind of come like poof, you know, just almost like magically or through some amazing consolation. And sometimes it does happen, but, you know, the Lord's ways are a lot more mysterious than our ways. So the passage I'm going to read today is basically Jesus telling Louisa, and through Louisa us, you know, the importance of paying attention to his work in our souls. It's from volume 33, October 7th, 1934. Jesus tells Louisa, more powerfully than the rays of the sun, we transfix his interior. We pierce it and we mold it. And as we touch him more speedily than the light of the sun, we sow the seed of our thought in his mind, the seed of our memory in his memory, the seed of our will in his will, the seed of the word in his voice, the seed of our motion in his works, the seed of our love in his heart, and so on with everything else. Now, if he pays attention to us, working with us in the field of his soul, because we never withdraw our divine son by night and by day, we hover over him more tenderly than a mother, now to nourish him, now to warm him, now to defend him, now to work with him, now to cover and hide him in our love. In this way, we will make a beautiful harvest to nourish him with us and to praise our love, our infinite wisdom, and our power. If we found more souls who would pay attention to us, we would give so many blessings as to transform souls into living saints and faithful copies of ourselves. But in our divine will, there is no danger that the soul could fail to receive our daily sowing and that she could fail to work with her creator in the field of her soul. That is why I want to remain always in my, I want you always to remain in my fiat. Do not let yourself think about anything else. In this way, we will make a beautiful harvest, and you and I will have abundant food so that we can feed the others, and we will be happy with one and the same happiness. So the thing that struck me is, you know, Jesus is talking about sowing in the soul. And, you know, anybody's familiar with gardening, when you sow things, you have to break up the ground. You have to do some hoeing. You know, there's work that has to be done in the ground. And like I was saying before, you know, when we desire to live in the divine will, when we desire things and we ask the Lord for it, and we have to continue to ask over and over again, like Sister Gemma was saying, God's going to answer that prayers, but maybe not in the way that we would hope for, kind of in the easy way. You know, a lot of times he answers those prayers through the crosses in our lives, through the struggles, through the difficulties. That's the sowing he's doing in our soul, but it's all his love, because it's stuff that needs to happen in order for us to arrive at the point that he wants us to arrive at, which is, like you were saying before, Peter, you know, the nakedness of our soul. He's got to kind of pull out all of those weeds to make fertile soil. And what are those weeds? All of the things that we've formed our identity in, all of those things that we felt gave us value, all of those things that maybe we thought, you know, would be pleasing to God or pleasing to others, so we would look good and be happy with ourselves. But really, God's got to get us back to the point that Adam and Eve were before the fall, whereas their dignity and their beauty and the treasure that they were to the Eternal Father was the fact that they were his creatures. So this is beautiful. So I took a lot of comfort in this passage, because God wants us to pay attention to these things that are happening in our souls, you know, not to be super introspective, not to be constantly navel gazing, but as, you know, as he is allowing things in our life and as the Holy Spirit is revealing things to us, you know, just kind of bringing that all to him. You know, Jesus is, what's going on here? I'm struggling with this. Help me with this. Just kind of bringing everything to him. And really that just strengthens our union with him, that strengthens our dependence on him, because we're showing him over and over again, I can't do this on my own. You know, I need you. I need your light. And he does show us, because he shows us, because that's kind of the gateway to our correspondence. When we kind of understand what's going on, we don't always understand. Sometimes we have to give our fiat blindly, but there's also times where he wants to let his child know what's going on so that we can correspond. And so we can feel his love even in that. And just kind of be filled with gratitude towards our Father, who's doing nothing but drawing us closer and closer to himself.
Correspondence is a word that just really popped out when you mentioned that, because it does take correspondence. You know, as much as God wants to give us a sister and mother, you know, we need to correspond to be able to make that connection. And God's not going to force us into that connection, but we have to. Also, his wisdom, you know, when you talk about, you know, doing a garden and hoeing and planting, you know, I'm very busy. I'm going to be very busy soon on that, because my wife is a gardener. He's so clever in the way that he allows for the thistles, he allows for the weeds to grow, but he allows them to grow right next to the beautiful plants or the beautiful flowers, so that we can distinguish, oh, those are not the ones we want to keep. Those are the ones that must be removed. Sort of like when he allows us to know ourselves better, we can recognize our faults, work on that, strengthening those, and some of those attributes we need to actually get rid of, because they're not healthy to us nor to God. So, Mother, we've got about 2 minutes for the break.
Well, I was just reading something here about our Lord wanting us to share this with others, too. This was October 2nd, 1929, volume 27. He says, my daughter, if you knew how much I suffer when I want to form my works and make them known to creatures in order to give them the good they contain, and I find no one who has true enthusiasm, genuine desire, and the will to make my work his life in order to make it known so as to give to others the life of the good of my works that he feels within himself. And he says, you know, as life that is felt, not as something extraneous to him, he may feel the need to give it to others. So I think as we grow in this, as we see what it does in our lives, as we become transformed by these knowledges our Lord gave Louisa, we begin to do acts and rounds in divine. We'll begin to get transformed. We only want to share it with others. And God gives us the grace to say the right words. You pray for the grace. Share it with others. Tell them about it. You don't have to be a great theologian. Just have to tell them about Louisa. Tell them about these beautiful works. Share with them a few books, maybe a little bit to read. Let them get a thirst for it, a desire for it, and then they will embrace it. Okay, I think we're here.
Okay. You know, Mother, true. And in fact, one of the sisters was mentioning it earlier. The charity spreads everywhere and with everyone. And again, that's not by us doing so. Of course, that's through the grace of God being able to spread that. You know, Mother, also speaking of, well, before I get to the last line, before we go to the break, I'd like to mention, if everyone can please jot this down, you're going to probably need this in about 10 minutes. This is the phone number for Radio Maria. It's 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. We're going to need that this afternoon to be able to exemplify and to shadow our charity. Jesus says this. This is, you talk about a meditation. Quote, if faith makes one believe and hope makes one hope, charity makes one love. We finally arrived. God has taken us back to the other side. He's finally done it. Finally.
Free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary. You know, take the time, a very, very important time we need to spend now, just speaking about charity, actually. Before we do that, let me just quote our blessed Lord Jesus. This comes from Volume 4, October 29th, 1900. Our blessed Lord states, quote, "The most essential and necessary thing in a soul is charity," end quote. He goes on to say, quote, that without charity, the most beautiful things remain obscured. One can see no harmony. They want to do one thing, some another, end quote. Charity connects everything. And, you know, we mentioned in the early part of the program too, charity comes in a myriad of different ways, financial, spiritual. You know, just a polite gesture can be the charity needed to effectuate change in someone's life. Well, Radio Maria is a private initiative within the Roman Catholic Church. 100% listener supported. There are no commercials. There are no situations of someone selling you something that perhaps you don't want or you don't need. 100% listener supported, which means that it does take our charity to keep the wheels running. In fact, speaking of the wheels running, we had a little bit of a mishap earlier today. Some of the equipment that the mother and the sisters were using, you know, is antiquated, but they've got a couple different backup systems, so to speak, and one wasn't working well, so they had to go to plan B, and it caused a little bit of a delay. Well, I think we've got a refresh underway with Radio Maria, and this is so vital because, again, all the programming that Radio Maria brings to our homes, to our places of businesses, to our car, to our computers, it's all predicated on being able to deliver it. And to deliver it takes money. Yes, the volunteers are free. Yes, the presenters do it at no cost. But there is a fee. There is a cost to present this 100% authentic Catholic programming. And we're going to talk about that. And I think what better way or with whom to best speak about this would be to bring on, not to put him on the spot, I'd like to bring on Kevin, the program manager at Radio Maria US, and hear his take on things and see how things are going. Because, again, Radio Maria is relying on our charity. And the beautiful thing is God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. So remember that. He knows what we can do. And, of course, he knows what we cannot do. So, Kevin, if you are you there?
I am. How are you, Peter? How are the
so
sisters
happy.
And mother doing over there?
Well, I'll let them tell you.
Hello, we're doing fine here, Kevin. Yeah. How are you?
So where I'm from, we'd say a joke when we meet somebody that we know. We said, what you up to no good? So I know that's going to fall deaf. It's an old Cajun thing, but that's all right. That was my joke of the day. No, well, things are going.
Keep your day job, Kevin.
Yeah. yeah, the Blessed Mother pulled me here. I think she said, like, don't joke, just work. Things are actually going well. It's been pretty exciting. We've been fortunate enough. We're fortunate enough to have programming like your show here, where the gift is the Lord allows y'all the time to put these programs together, and allows us to be able to open up this free platform for you to do this. And the only way that we're able to do this is the generosity of our listeners, and they've been very kind. This Mariathon, it's actually been pretty fun. We've been blessed with a lot of great interviews. Father Dan has nailed quite a few great interviews, and so did Christine Rossi yesterday. Yesterday was a powerhouse day, so if you want to go back. In fact, I'm in talks with our promotions director. I've got to send her some of the audio of some of those interviews, and we may be sending those out as thank yous to people who have donated. So as far as today, I did roll out the raffle that we spoke of, Peter. And so before we get into it, I wanted to throw this out. We do have some matching dollars, got $1,000. So and I've been telling our listeners to enter this raffle. It's only $100 or more, we'll get you into this raffle that we'll pull a name at the end of the day. So right now, if we can match that $1,000, up to $1,000 right now, your $100 donation or more is going to be doubled. So it's a great time to give us a call at 888-408-0201 and double your money, get entered into the raffle, in which I'm going to turn over some of the details to you, Peter, and the sisters to kind of explain, because I know you have the rosary firsthand. I let people know that the it was a gift given to you by Marie Serico, is that right? The foundress of St. Michael's Garmadal Center.
Yes, yeah, it's Maria Serico, actually. Serico.
See, look, Kevin, yeah. the last 2 hours, I was like, this is going to happen. I'm going to butcher that last name.
Well, those Italian names are all difficult anyway.
Well, you know.
Change them like Ellis Island did anyway. So, Maria Serico was here, I think, on two occasions. On the one occasion, she was here, again, explaining about, she spent time, Maria Loli, one of the seers lived with Maria Serico for quite some time. Actually, Maria is the one that brought her to the United States when she then started to live in Brockton, Massachusetts. So she was very familiar with her. And again, Maria, not having money to give in Thanksgiving, of course, she gave love and gave prayers. But she had this cloth that was kissed by our Blessed Mother, purportedly, but we do believe it is, of course. During one of Maria Loli's apparitions, and they placed it into just a few holy rosaries, and she was kind enough to give me one, or my family one, when she came here. And I have to be honest with you, we're talking about charity, After I made this offer, Kevin, I almost, the devil creeps in and says,
"Oh yeah,
are you sure you want to give that away? Are you sure you don't want to keep that?" And I was having some second thoughts, what did I do? But then I'm saying to myself, you know what? I don't need anything further to get me to be on my knees to our Blessed Lady. I said, but perhaps this can help someone else. So when I thought of that, I didn't even think about what we're reading about charity. I said, okay, it's going to be easier for me to give this up. But see, God gives us these opportunities that, it's not easy to part with something. Mm-hmm. Again, those who are giving donations, they could probably use that money for something else, but they choose not to. Because again, this is almost like giving up holy things like Jesus and our Blessed Mother speak about. Where's the greater good? Do I go out and do I go to that dinner and please my family for the 2 hours? Or do I give that same money to Radio Maria and have thousands, if not millions, listen to this? And then through the archives, constantly over and over again, it's like the eternal now. It constantly is God working on each and every one of us constantly. And to give people the opportunity to receive this, to say yes, to give our fiat, to me is the greatest gift. So whatever we can do, again, it doesn't have to be big. Look at the lady who gave the two pence. God was so elated because she gave what she could. All we're asking for is anyone to give what they can. God knows what we can and cannot do.
Yep.
I know for a fact I can say this one thing, Kevin. Mm-hmm. This is real. I didn't order this rosary in the mail order. I didn't get it from a catalog. Maria Serico handed this to me in person, and this is the real deal, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible.
Well, yeah, you're 100% right. And so some of the logistics of radio. So in the United States, there's licensing that has to be paid. Obviously, we're in a building here. That has to be paid. The lights have to be paid. It takes a lot of power to transmit audio and a lot of equipment to store the audio and upload the audio. Just kind of think of your own home when you buy a computer and all the expenses that are involved in that. Just getting the software. And of course, nowadays, a lot of the software is no longer... you remember, Peter, back in the day, you just buy a Microsoft disk that would upload the Microsoft applications. Now everything's a subscription. So any new updates in software and stuff like that, it usually is a license subscription, and there's expense for that, and just the day-to-day stuff. And so, and of course, with the radio station and the amount of audio that we handle, there's several different servers and backup servers and different redundancies to make sure that we can keep that amount of data intact. And so it does create an expense. And right now is a good time to call because I threw out the $1,000 match. So any money that you call in and donate, it's going to be doubled. So you donate, you doubled your gift here. And so obviously, let me spit the number out. To do that, it's 888-408-0201. 888-408-0201. And so I was, when you sent me the email about this item, so just like you didn't want to give it up, I didn't want to touch it because I was like, this is so rare. I had no clue what to do with it. And you were asking me, what should we do? How should we offer it to people? And I was like, I don't know. Look, it's one item. I want all our listeners to have an opportunity at it.
Right.
I don't want it to go to the highest bidder because that just seems wrong.
Right.
And so I call it the brain trust. So me, you, Father Dan, kind of put our heads together. And
no, I had nothing to do with figuring this out because I was clueless. I'm so happy you did, though.
Well, I can't take a lot of credit. A lot of credit goes to Father Dan and his wisdom. So, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told Father Dan, and Father Dan's like, he kind of had the same feelings as me. I don't want to touch this. You know, it's one item. It's so rare. I don't know what to do with it. And he was like, Kevin, just have a raffle. I was like, you know what? That sounds great. That's at least that way. The burden of finding who this belongs to is on the Holy Spirit. And from what everything I know, at least personally in my life, he bats 1,000. So that's what we're gonna do. We have this rosary with the relic in it. So I'm gonna get you in a minute, Peter, to kind of, if you could. Maybe, I know it's kind of hard to explain visuals over the radio, but if you could do a little bit of that, give me a second here. But sure. It's a rosary, beautiful rosary that has a relic in it, kissed by our Blessed Mother during one of Maria Loli's apparitions there in Garambadal. So, Peter, okay, details. Wait, I forgot one thing. To get your name thrown into the hat, into the raffle. And so what's going to happen is we're going to take all the names to the end of the day here. And at the end of the business day, when we when all the volunteers are done and everything's closed down and Carla and I are kind of reconciling all the donations and the wonderful gifts and things, we're going to pick a name. And tomorrow, if Father Dan has time on his program, then fine, we'll do it there. If not, then it'll be after. So in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll announce the winner of this rosary, of this item. And to get your name thrown in the hat, it's real simple. Call in 888-408-0201. It's $100 or more. Obviously, if you have the ability to give more, we certainly appreciate it. Again, it takes a lot of money to keep the radio going. If you can't, then that's fine too. Just whatever you can give, just $100 or more, it gets your name in this raffle, and then off we go. So, Peter, if you could, to the best of your ability, kind of describe what somebody would be receiving with this rosary.
I certainly will. Before I do that, I just want to qualify this also. I'm so happy that you and Father Dan, you know, again, figured out, reconciled how to best do this in the fairest way. And of course, you know, we didn't want to go to the highest bidder. We didn't want to say, you know, this is for sale. So we opted to have a raffle. So we're not condoning gambling. We're just, it was just the best option.
Yeah.
It's not to make it easy.
like I said, I like to think that, okay, we're giving this to the Holy Spirit's hands and saying, Holy Spirit, go find the rightful owner.
That's right. Well, what it is, it's a rosary. It's a plastic rosary. That has the crucifix on it, of course. And then affixed to it, where just before the crucifix, you have about a circular piece of plastic, I'll call it, about the size of a half a dollar. And on one side, the front, you have an icon of our Blessed Mother with the child Jesus wearing two crowns. And on the flip side, you have a red parchment paper with a fabric relic in the middle, I don't know, maybe 5-6 centimeters with a piece of tape securing it. And it states, kissed by Our Lady of Garabandal. And when Maria Loli was here, when Maria Soraka was here, she mentioned that during the apparition, when this article was kissed by Our Lady, she showed affection to all her children through this simple and precious act. These beautiful relics, really, in a small little inexpensive reliquary attached to the Holy Rosary, remembering that this is the weapon that we're going to need during these difficult times, and when they get more difficult. The knives and guns, serve purposes. At times, there's justification in instances for that. But this is what's going to win the war. It's going to be a bloodless war. And again, to have the relic of Our Lady kissed so that she may kiss our forehead and give us the grace to not only receive what her Blessed Son is giving us, but to be able to utilize it. That's the key. God has never stopped giving grace. We've stopped receiving and or utilizing it. So that's what I think this relic, well, we'll call it a relic, can be used for. Remember, the relic may have been started with the woman that was hemorrhaging, that kissed the tunic of the of our Blessed Lord, and the tunic of our Blessed Lord, and was instantly healed. Again, God uses people. He uses inanimate objects to show His might, His strength, and His mystery. And again, I think that's, in a nutshell, what this is. It's not, again, it's the cloth is not going to protect or save us, but the person who kissed it will and is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And God can do that because it's all His.
That's right. He's going to do it.
It's a very powerful item. Peter, thank you very much for donating that and allowing us the opportunity to find somebody who was going to take good care of it. So give us a call, 888-408-0201, 888-408-0201. I have volunteers waiting to take that phone call, and $100 or more will get you into the raffle for this beautiful rosary that Peter just described. And till the top of the hour, so about 10 minutes, your dollars will be matched, which means your $100 turns into $200. And that definitely helps us out a lot. Okay, Peter, I'm going to jump off here. Thank you for letting me come on. I'm going to go out there and tally up everything. And there's a lot of logistics and stuff now with raffles and making sure I've got the right names. Understood. And everything. So, but again, thank you so, so much. God bless you and the sisters. And let's get back to what everybody's listening for. They love the School Amen. Of Mary. Thank Amen. You, Peter.
Well, we love you, Kevin. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. So thank you so much. I'm gonna bring Mother. Who knows better than miracles when it comes to fundraising? Of what she witnessed with her time at EWTN. If anyone doesn't know, Mother Gabriel Marie is the former Sister Catherine, the right-hand sister, for lack of a better phrase, to Mother Angelica for about 35 years or so at EWTN. And she remembers one interesting story about how an angel came to step up to the plate just in the time of need at EWTN. And we're praying that a similar angel will step up in the hour of need here at Radio Maria, because it's basically the same thing. The bulk of the money being raised is going to refresh the equipment at Radio Maria. Mother, would you give us a little walkthrough as to how Mother Angelica bought her first tranche of equipment, please?
Well, there's so many miracles with Divine Providence for Mother Angelica. Her great witness to the world was Divine Providence. For a little cloistered nun to build a network that costs $2.5 million a month to keep on the air, and they've been on the air since 1981 continually, that's a miracle. But, you know, Mother, the first big dish that we bought was like $600,000, and the back of the monastery became a dish farm after a while, so we moved north, an hour's drive north, and built another monastery. But the man was at the door to collect the money, and mother didn't have the money for this dish. So she didn't know what to say. She was hemming and hawing, and one of the sisters came and said, "Mother, this man wants to talk to you on the phone." She was glad to get away and go to the phone. He says, "Mother, I want to send you $600,000. How should I send it?" She said, "Wire it right now." But there are other stories about people's generosity to mother and how they got everything back and more because of their generosity to her. Like Joe Bruno, who had a few little grocery stores, he started giving Mother Angelica and the sisters in 1961 when they came free groceries. Those little bitty grocery stores turned out to be big supermarkets all over the south of the U.S. He became a multimillionaire because of that. And he asked him one day, "Did you ever think of not giving Mother Angelica and her sisters free groceries?" He said, "I'd be afraid to stop." So you give, God's going to give you much more in return. Another thing is when she went to South America and the child Jesus, El Nino, came alive to her, he says, "You build me a temple and I will help those who help you." And five families built the big shrine that she built north of EWTN and Iris Drive North in Hansville, Alabama. And everything they gave her, they got doubled and more in just a short time after they gave it to mother. So, you know, as you give, God's going to give you much more in return than what you gave. It might not even be monetary, but it may be in other ways, in graces or whatever. But generosity is charity is love. And, you know, that love and charity that you show toward others receiving the word of God on Radio Maria is going to come back to you in a very much bigger way than what you've given. So God is never outdone in generosity. He gives you much more than what you give, always. Whatever you're giving, he will return that in a greater, greater amount.
And that is so true. And, you know, Mother, we're going to have greater needs than I think ever before. With the times to come. And again, when things get worse, of course, God matches with his gratuitiveness and his mystical gifts. And he's given it to every one of us through the gift of living the divine will. But he's also giving us this information, this explication. Remember, Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given. An explication, a better understanding. And he tells us, in, again, that volume 4, October 29th, 1900, the most essential and necessary thing in a soul is charity. It's not food, it's not water, it's not air, it's charity. Because with that, all else will come. He also goes on to say in that same passage, that the more you invoke the help of the one who can free you, the more you will be helped. The one that can free us, the only one that can free us, is our Blessed Lord, with our Blessed Lady, and through Luisa and the gift of the divine will. It's just so beautiful. Closing thoughts, Mother. We've got about a minute, maybe two left.
Well, I just encourage everyone to practice much charity during this time of Lent. Be sacrificial, giving to Radio Maria. You know, they spread the word of God in a beautiful way. Many people listen, and they're being touched and transformed. So you become a big part of that in your giving your prayers, not only your money, but also praying for Radio Maria. But I encourage everyone to be generous, to give, and God will return that gift in a much greater way to you. He will bring blessings to your family. I know everybody's got family members they're praying for. So you give, you know, asking God to take care of your family, and he will not say no to you. And, just be very generous and knowing that God will just be so, so grateful for your generosity that he'll give you much, much more in return. And I encourage everyone to as they give in divine will. Say, this act, let God give it for you, and he's within you. Just say, "You, Jesus, you give this gift for me," and it becomes a divine will gift. It becomes an eternal act of giving, eternal act of generosity and charity and love. So, you know, I encourage you to do it that way. Give it in his divine will by asking him to give it in you.
How did I miss that? Thank you, Mother. That's the most important. Do it in the divine will. It lasts forever. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, again, 888-408-0201. Also, any donations at any amount, you'll receive a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. So again, please, the sacramentals are there to remind us of our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady. They will get us out of the darkness. They are getting us out of the darkness one day at a time. Thanks be to God. Again, our Lord tells us only love is what transforms the soul in God and makes it one with Him. Love everyone. Love Radio Maria. Thanks be to God for everything and everyone. Ciao.